Amen. Amen.
Like I said, regarding kind of what I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning, the senseless killing of martyrs has been happening throughout Scripture. Why does it happen? Why does it continue to happen? And that being said, we'll touch on some that are pretty popular, that you know their names and things of that nature. But there's so many people that are dying for the name of Christ that we don't even know, Brother Joe, and have throughout the years. But you can rest assured this, God knows their name. God knows everybody that has laid down their life or lost their life for the gospel. It happened all the way back in the beginning, folks. Cain killed Abel. Cain killed Abel. And the Bible called him righteous Abel, matter of fact. So that lets us know that the wicked killed the righteous. Amen. Cain killed Abel. We know in Scripture there was also many attempts throughout Scripture to where the adversary tried to martyr other people, but God would intervene. How many folks remember Daniel in the den of lions? Amen. If it wasn't for the Lord there, Daniel would have been, he'd been a goner. How many remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If it wasn't for the Lord there intervening and showed up in the furnace with them, guess what? They would have been martyred. So the devil is always consistently throughout Scripture. Matter of fact, the Bible or tradition tells us that all the disciples were martyred, save John, who was not. But every single one that followed Jesus died for the cause of the gospel. So the adversary is always doing his best to shut up truth. That's just really what it comes down to. Why does he want to do those things? I think it's personally directly tied to something we've talked about here lately. We talked about it at Pastor Walker's on Friday evening. And it's a scripture that oftentimes I think we don't focus enough on it as we should, unfortunately. But Jesus said, not for us to pray for the harvest. He said, pray for laborers. That's what he said. Pray for laborers for the harvest. So in other words, people that will go out with the truth of the gospel, that will share the word of God, that is why I think one reason that we see what we see, why the adversary does not want there to be laborers for the harvest, because one person speaking truth holds a lot of power. Okay? Don't you think for one second, that's why we talk about it here, when the Lord puts it on your heart to witness to somebody, how important it truly is, because, listen folks, Charlie Kirk was won to Jesus by somebody. Somebody that was obedient to the Holy Spirit, some parents that took him to church, and he heard the gospel message and received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And how many lives did he affect? A lot of lives. A lot of truth poured into it. A lot of standing up for the truth and all those things. So don't ever question if God puts it on your heart to witness to somebody that you're not doing something important, because listen, you don't know who that person is going to be in Christ that you're getting ready to witness to. God may raise them up to be a powerful evangelist or something like that. And you know what? I truly believe this. When we get to heaven and those rewards are handed out, we'll understand it all by and by. I truly believe that. I really do. You may not understand it now. That's part of being obedient. I remember being a kid, and when my parents or my mom and dad told me to do something, I'll be honest with you, they didn't give you reasons to do it. They just didn't do it, Lindsay. And I didn't even dare ask, to be quite honest with you. But if you did make the mistake, and I do remember saying it a couple of times, Dad, why? Because I said so. Right? Because I said so. That was good enough, and I wasn't going to rebut that, okay? But the point being is, he knew what was best, amen? So when the Lord is putting something on us to do, the Holy Spirit's unctioning us, he knows what's best. Don't say, why, Lord? Send Vicky. Send Lindsay. Send Michelle. Why me, Lord? He knows best. He's placed you in their life because he knows you'll be effective. He's give you a relationship with them, or he knows that you got a word that's going to touch them, okay? It's so important to do those things. Matter of fact, in the Bible, it even talks about this, that martyrdom is going to continue up until Jesus comes back at Armageddon. You understand that? Book of Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 11 says this, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, till their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So in other words, as much as we don't like what happened and condemn what happened and pray for the family that's left behind, and it's senseless, it should not have happened, it's going to continue to happen until Jesus comes back and puts an end of it all. Okay? There's not going to be a kingdom, folks, until the king comes back. And that's just where we're living at, Brother Terry. But it's important to what I wanted to dive today in the book of Acts chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, if you don't care to turn to it. We're going to talk about a specific martyr. His name is Stephen. Now, some of you folks are getting your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Just a little bit of background on Stephen. We don't know a ton about Stephen, okay? The Bible don't go in depth with his genealogy or anything like that. But Stephen is one of the original deacons, one of the original seven deacons in the early church. So what happened is, as they began to preach the gospel, people's getting saved, the disciples and stuff like that, there become a problem within the early church, so to speak. The widows were being neglected. Now keep in mind, this is during a time that there was no such thing as Social Security or anything like that, okay? There was no help in any way. So if someone's husband passed away, and especially if he didn't have any children or a son or whatever to help take care of his mother, they were being neglected. And the disciples knew that this wasn't right. Scripturally, they knew it wasn't right. Holy Spirit, they knew it wasn't right. But they couldn't leave what they were doing, evangelizing and spreading the gospel, to do that. So what they done is they set seven men up to take care of these matters and these important situations and people matters. And the Bible said that these men were full of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. They were full of the Holy Ghost. That was something that the Bible specifically mentioned. So in other words, these were going to be men of God, powerful in word and powerful in the Spirit of God. Okay? So Stephen is one of them. Okay? So that's one thing we know about Stephen, is that Stephen was a man of God. He was a man of deep conviction. And you ready for this? He helped others. Stephen helped take care of widows and orphans. Think about that, folks. The first New Testament martyr is Stephen, who his only fault was taking care of widows and orphans. Think about that. If you think the devil don't want to take you out, no offense here. No offense here at all. I don't think anybody sitting here today measures up to Stephen. Okay? And what was Stephen guilty of? Helping widows and orphans. Okay? So if you don't think the devil wants to take you out, you better think again. You better think again. I promise you that. But Stephen, the Bible tells us, he's a man full of the Holy Spirit. And Brother Joe, he has to be a humble man. He has to have love in his heart, Vicky. He has to love God and love others. Plain and simple. He's fulfilling, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." That's literally what he's doing. He's got an important office in the church. So guess what? The adversary wants to move against Stephen. Can I get somebody to read for me? We got, you care to see? Start at verse 8 and read down to verse 15, please.
And the
Amen. Thank you, Z, very much. The Bible says in verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So we're not just talking about a regular old Joe here, who is literally Charlie Kirk, as God rest his soul. He had strong words and wisdom. And I believe, honestly, from the Lord, to be honest with you. But he didn't do miracles. He didn't, okay? So the Bible said, keep in mind, the people, his own people, the Jews, that rise up against him are not just rising up against the deacon. They're not just rising up against the early church member. They're rising up somebody that's laying hands on people, and they're being healed. Miracles are being performed. So in other words, if somebody's like that, Terry, even if I don't agree with everything he's saying, it's going to be kind of hard for me to go, he's of the devil. Think about it, folks. Miracles are being performed, and that's the one thing that I think that upset Jesus so much. Because he even said, if you don't believe me, believe it for the work's sake. Okay, so in other words, you're seeing God heal these people. Then this must be of God, plain and simple. So as Stephen is going about and doing his ministry, the Bible never comes out and tells us that he ends up being a preacher, an evangelist like Philip, who was one of the deacons in the book of Acts with the Ethiopian eunuch and all those things. Maybe he would have been one had he not got martyred or whatever, and maybe he did preach some sermons that the Bible don't mention. But he's a man full of Holy Ghost. As Z read it, when they look upon him at that time, he had the face of an angel. So that tells me he has a humbleness, a kindness to him. And guess what? God is using him to work in spiritual gifts. There is miracles taking place, the gifts of miracles. There is gifts of healings probably no doubt taking place. There's great things that are happening, and now there's a problem. Why do you think that is? Because when the Lord begins to move, Satan begins to pay attention. Amen? How many have ever seen church growth and then something happened and boom? Amen? Because when God begins to move, Satan pays attention. Listen, if all you're ever going to do is come to church on Sunday and don't tell nobody else that you're even a Christian, don't even act like you're a Christian, don't even read your Bible, and let's just be honest with you, you're about as dead as a doorknob, I promise you Satan will leave you alone. But the moment you decide, you know what, I'm going to grow in Christ, I'm going to be determined to reach out and help others, invite people to show them Jesus with my actions and then my words when necessary, because it don't matter what you say if you act another way. Amen? Actions speak louder than words. That's just the way it is. Don't tell me how good of a Christian you are if you don't act like one. Amen? Now guess what? Stephen is both. He acts like one and he speaks like one. And now people are really paying attention. The devil is going to take notice, and that's what we got here. And the Bible says, as Z read it, and I'm one of these geeks that loves to pull details. And I believe every scripture, every word in the Bible is pertinent and important, and it's there for a reason. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which are the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians, Alexandrians, Cilicia, and Asia, disputing with Stephen. So you ready for this? I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. West Virginia got a big win last night. West Virginia got a big win last night. Watched the whole game. Tara can attest to you. When we tied it up, there was a lot of excitement in my house. And when we won it, there was even more excitement in my house. Grandkids looked at me like I was crazy. Lindsay probably hadn't jumped that high in years. I was really excited. And then seeing the interview with Coach Rodriguez on the field afterwards, a little 45-minute interview, and he gets emotional and he starts sharing things. The reason I liked it so much was he's one of us. You can say what you want about what he'd done 17 years ago, but he's from Granttown, West Virginia. There's a thing about West Virginians, we know when you're one of us. Just the truth. No offense to nobody, this ain't about political, but the guy in the governor mansion ain't one of us. He's from New Jersey. I don't know if you know that or not, but he's from New Jersey. Nothing? Hey, if he does a great job, I'm praying for it. Ain't got nothing to do with politics. But I'm just telling you, West Virginians know when somebody is one of us. Okay? Plain and simple. And that's one of the reasons I like Coach Rodriguez. He's one of us. He gets it. Okay? He knows what it's like to be from West Virginia, who's always been one of the armpits of America. Truth? Everybody tries to look down on us, dumb hillbillies, blah, 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 and we're not that. It's God-fearing people. I still love the prophecy. I believe it was the Regional Church of God, and I've heard Brother Mitch speak about it, how the heartbeat of the country, ba-boom, 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 and it spread blood throughout the rest of the country, came from this area right here, and a prophetic word. So I believe in that, okay? That being said, when somebody comes in here and stirs up trouble, you can't help it. Kind of hair gets up on the back of your neck a little bit, don't it? It's just the truth. Well, the people that's going to rise up against Stephen ain't even from there. They're out-of-towners. Okay? They're out-of-towners, plain and simple. They're not from Israel, per se. The Libertines, by the way, were a bunch of people that were taken away years ago by the Romans, and they're from Rome, okay? They would be Jews, but they may have been repatriated or whatever, could be their descendants or something like that. So in other words, they're not in-towners, they're out-of-towners, okay? The next group, it says, is the Cyrenians. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Cyrenians? They're from Cyrene. You know anybody else that was from Cyrene? Simon of Cyrene, the guy that was compelled to carry Jesus' cross. Them bunches is here too, okay? Why was Simon of Cyrene there that day? Simon of Cyrene was a Jew that likely came to Israel for the Passover. And just so happens, could you imagine coming in for the Passover with your children probably with you? You're going to take your kids, and we know that he had kids in the Book of Mark. That tells us so, as Pat preached on that one time. But imagine coming into town, and I kind of think it might have happened like this, Brother Joe. Could you imagine coming into town? What is going on? What's this big procession? These people carrying these crosses. And they compel you to carry Jesus's. He walked in on that. He did. He was from Cyrene, okay? So that's where this other bunch is from. They're from Cyrene, which is modern-day Libya. It was actually a colony, or a bunch of Jews had settled in that area. The next one said Alexandrians. Those are Egyptians, Jewish Egyptians, okay? The next goes on and says Cilicia, which is modern-day Turkey and Asia. So in other words, ain't none of these people that's rising up against him were his own people. They were out-of-towners. Okay? So in other words, maybe, just maybe, these people wasn't there. Good chance. They wasn't there when it happened with what happened with Jesus happened. Okay? They don't know maybe the message that's going on, but the big indictment upon them, you're seeing the miracles. You're seeing the healings taking place. You're hearing the message, but there's something about that message that is ticking you off. Have you ever noticed anybody that lives in sin or lives against the truth have a hard time hearing the truth? You ever noticed that? There's a group of women, they have a show. And on that show, they cater to lies and hypocrisy. And they get ratings out of it. And they put people in that audience that agree with them. And they set up ambushes for anybody else that wants to come in and speak the truth. But can I tell you, and I do not watch them at all, but I've seen clips. And on the rare occasion, they get somebody in there that is bold and truthful. They can't rebut them. They can't rebut them. Can I tell you why? Truth don't take a sidestep to nobody. Don't have to. Truth stand on its own. Opinions can falter. They'll come and go. Just like emotions, they come and go. Opinions come and go. I could change my opinion tomorrow if Brother Joe decides to do something else. They change. They come and go. But the truth is always the truth. You can say that I have this right to say I'm a he, she, it, or them. But the fact of the matter is, that was determined when you was in your mother's womb, whether you were a male or female. You can try to twist that all you want, but the truth of it is, you have an X, a Y, or whatever you got, and that makes you who you are. Whether you want to admit it or not, or confess it or not, is irrelevant. You're still, the truth of it is, you're a male or you're a female. That's just the way it is, folks. The truth is the truth. It will not fade. And I love that the truth will stand when the world's on fire. had an old deacon I went to church with many years ago. That was one of his most famous quotes. As a matter of fact, I know it's not. It's Dow Simpson. Great man of God. Thank the world of him. And it should have been on his tombstone. And he said in a powerful way, he wasn't putting nobody down. He was just standing for the truth, Vicki. The truth will stand when the world is on fire. There are people that are dying today for speaking truth. There was a man that was assassinated this week because he spoke truth. There was a man here in Scripture, in the book of Acts, that was martyred because he spoke truth. Truth is powerful. And that is what gets the adversary's attention. When a church comes together in unity, the key being unity, when a church comes together in unity and the truth of God's word, that's when revival happens. You understand that? Because a unified group of believers that come together in one accord, guess what? The power of God is with that. He's in that. He's abiding there. Because guess who brought the unity? The Spirit of God. Why do you think on the day of Pentecost they were all with one accord? He didn't come until they were together with one accord. So in other words, they wasn't nobody arguing over the curtains or the carpet color. They were there for one reason only. And as they did that, the Bible says the Spirit moved as a mighty rushing wind. And He filled them. Amen? But here's the thing about that. It's wonderful to be Spirit-led and Spirit-filled, as Stephen was. But you need to know the truth of God's Word. Because when you go out, you ready for this? You're going to run into some people that are knowledgeable, but they don't know the truth. As Pastor Walker said many times here, he don't know why he's a magnet to atheists and things of that nature. He said it. Y'all have heard him say it. But you better be prepared with the truth of God's Word. You better be girded. You better have on the whole armor of God, which includes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can I tell you the thing that I noticed the most about Charlie Kirk? Is he knew the Scripture. That was the biggest thing. How do you trip up somebody that knows what truth is? You know what truth is? Ready for this? Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father but by me. Now, you ready for that? If you're willing to stand on God's Word, then the Spirit will amen that. Always amen that. And you ready for this? If you will do your due diligence and do your homework, you can't just let your preacher, your evangelist, your pastors, your Sunday school teachers be the ones that just teach you the Word and don't go home and do nothing else. Do your homework. Read the Scripture. Allow the Holy Spirit to pour the truth of God's Word into you. If you'll do that, then here's what will happen. As Jesus said, take no thought what you're going to say in that day, because I will speak for you. The Holy Spirit that was coming is who Jesus was talking about. And I feel the Lord right now. I will speak for you in that day. Take no thought. You don't have to worry about it. They're not going to be able to dismay you because I am with you. Stephen stands before them and he's telling them the truth. And Sister Z read it. And the Bible says that all these out-of-towners and everybody else, they delivered them up to the high priest and all those things. And the Bible says they looked on him and his face was the face of an angel. Think about that. And yet they still want to kill him. Does that tell us a lot about Stephen? Sure. It tells me a lot about them as well. If you think the devil for 1 second wants to allow the truth of God's Word to be spoken unfettered, you better wake up. You better wake up. Folks, I say this in a spiritual standpoint. We are in a war. We are in a war. Get your fuzzy house slippers off and put your work boots on. We are in a war today. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle with spiritual warfare, wickedness, evil, and high places. Amen? That's the truth. And Stephen goes on, it says, his face is that of an angel. It says, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses, against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and came up upon him and caught him and brought him before the council and set up false witnesses. So in other words, they stirred up the people. The truth didn't stir the people up. Truth was setting them free. Let me tell you something. If I'm sitting there listening to a guy preach and somebody over here that I know is getting healed, I ain't going to be upset at that guy. Man, look at this guy. Man, he's powerful. God be with him. Hey, look, if I'm the biggest goofball on the planet, Brother Tommy, I see the results. Man, look at this. This guy, man, Lord have mercy. God's surely with him. So the people wasn't against the truth. It was the leaders that were against the truth. And the Bible said they set up false witnesses. Why? Because the people wasn't against him. Think about that. The people wasn't against him. The Bible said that they put up false witnesses. Where did we see that at? They did it to Jesus. They did it to Jesus. They pull Jesus, they arrest him at night, and they hold the trial at night, which is against the law, by the way, if you didn't know that. That was against the law. You guys remember when the high priest actually rent his garments regarding Jesus? You remember when he tore his garments? Well, I don't know if you know this, but according to the law, he was no fit to be high priest no more. He should have been, boom, kicked out, gone, done. You're out of here, buddy. But they ignored every bit of that, Joe. It was a kangaroo court. And when they began to do this, guess what? At that point, it still wasn't lining up for them. Their case was falling apart. They start getting false witnesses to come in and say, well, I heard this, and I heard that, and I heard this, and I heard that. That's what they're doing to Stephen here. And the Bible says Stephen still stands there with the face of an angel. His countenance is unchanged. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. So did they hate Stephen? Because he loved Jesus. It circled right back to who he stood for. Did they hate Charlie Kirk? Because he loved Jesus. Do they hate you? Because you love Jesus. Folks, it's about him. He is the truth, the way, and the life. If you want to make a difference in the world today, don't get more wisdom. Get more Jesus. You understand me? Pray for wisdom, godly wisdom. God will give it liberally to every man that asks. But I promise you this, if you want to make an impact, be more like Jesus. Why do you think Stephen, as they're getting ready to stone him, before he goes to testify, said he had the face of an angel? Because he looked like Jesus. He acted like Jesus. He talked about Jesus. What this right here tells me, the problem wasn't with Stephen near as much as it was with Jesus. Can I tell you something? As long as you keep talking about Jesus, and ready for this, don't back up from this part. The world will tell you there's many ways to God. Oprah will tell you there's many ways for them. And people will call them people great people. In society, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So I'm here to tell you without a shadow of a doubt, Islam is wrong and it's demonically inspired. Buddhist is wrong and it's demonically inspired. Confucius, wrong and demonically inspired. Why? Because there's only one way to God. His name is Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. If you've got somebody, if you've got a friend, if you've got a neighbor that you love getting around along with and this, that, and the other, and they ever say something like, yeah, but I know it. He believes that's the way. He believes that's the way you get to heaven. You have a responsibility as a Christian in today's world to say, listen, that might be what he thinks, but the Bible says this. Get your house shoes off. Put your work boots on. I never went to work in a hard environment without putting my steel-toed boots on first, Lindsay. I didn't take my house shoes when I went to work. I dressed appropriately. And every day that we leave our homes, and go wherever we're at, that God has put us there in those jobs and places we're at, those people that we're going to run into. We've got a job to do, yes, for our employer, but more so for Jesus. Because you understand God has put you with that employer, and while you're there, you can make an impact for Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Does anybody got any comments or questions? I'm getting going. But it goes on, it says in the book of Acts, and just for sake of time, I'm not going to read Stephen's testimony. Please go back and do that. It's rather long. Stephen goes back from Abraham, and he lays out everything about how God had dealt with and worked with the Jews. And it says in chapter 7, verse 51 through 53, he gets to the point of it, the end of it. So the man with the face of an angel, humble Stephen, but led by Jesus. In love with people. He's helping widows and orphans, folks. Those less fortunate. He's right there with them. But full of the Holy Ghost and power. And when he gets to the end of it, this humble man, should we be humble? Absolutely we should be humble. Because Jesus was humble. I gotta tell you something right now. The truth is still the truth, whether it's given from a humble person or not. And he gets to the end of it after just basically laying out the testimony of the Jews. Nothing he says is really, it's not wrong at all. And probably a lot of it they agreed with. But he gets to the end of it and he says this in three short verses, Pat. He says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." You stiff-necked and uncircumcised bunch of Philistines. I could almost basically hear him saying it. You still reject the Holy Ghost just like your daddies did. That's what he's doing. Face of an angel. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised. You know what he's saying? You're blind and you're deaf. You're blind and you're deaf. You stiff-necked. You uncircumcised. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? After all, it's you that persecuted the prophets. And it goes on, it says, "And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one." They know who the just one was. Moses said that God would raise up a prophet like unto me. You remember when they went to Jesus and said, are you this? Are you that? Are you the one? Remember that? That was the one. They were looking for the Messiah. They were still looking for the Messiah. They knew he was coming, Joe. And it goes on, it says, "Of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." But he's got the face of an angel. "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." So in other words, the guy with the face of an angel who loved people, who's big into charity work. Guy's probably the leader of the Salvation Army, Goodwill, and everything else in Jerusalem in that day. He's helping the homeless. He's helping the widows. He's helping the... He's got the face of an angel. He's humble. But when the Holy Spirit came on him and he began to testify, he didn't back away from the truth. You can be both, folks. Charlie Kirk was assassinated because he spoke the truth. But it ain't the first time. And I got news for you, folks. It ain't the last time. But we're not to be fearful of this. As you said, pray for his family. Pray for those left behind. Okay? But if his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, just like ours is, then he's right now in a much better place than any of us is. They didn't kill him because what happened to him happened to Stephen here. And I'll go on. It said, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." You know what that is? They were biting him. That's what gnashing on with their teeth means. They were cut to their heart because he called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says it cuts them to their heart. They begin to gnash him with their teeth. Now they're biting on him. Can I tell you something right now? When I was a kid growing up, we used to fight a lot, Lindsay, with our siblings and cousins, this, that, and the other. If one of you bit somebody, man, that was really bad on you. You got really whooped from a parent if you beat on somebody. That's just the truth. You don't bite. If you're going to fight Lindsay, then you better swing with it and everything you've got. But if you bite him, I'm going to bust your hind end. Am I telling the truth? And your friends, you better not bite nobody. We were taught as kids, you don't bite. Okay? Plain simple. These were grown men that were biting him. Think about that. That's hate. That's hate. It's also very immature. Amen? They hated him so much, they had nothing else to do. They couldn't rebut him, so they bit him. Think about that. That's what it means. But they gnash on him with their teeth, and it goes on and it says, cast him out of the city and stone him. And the witnesses laid down the clothes of a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That's a little footnote the Bible gives us there. Saul, who would later be Paul, was holding the feet of the men, was holding the garments, or the coats, of the men that stoned Stephen. And I've often thought about, how that probably affected Paul. For years later, no doubt Paul was one of the reasons Paul would say in his writings later on, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Because you know as well as I do, folks, once he came to the Lord and the knowledge of the truth and God used him, don't you think he had his regrets for being there that day, not speaking up? He was holding her garments. Paul was and probably the reason he was holding her garments, folks, really, he was probably younger. It might have been his daddy was one of them doing it, or his uncle, or the leaders, or whatever, of his area. He was just holding her. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just sitting there. Yeah. So Paul's doing that, and it goes on and it says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So the man of God, who's humble with the face of an angel, testifies under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, calls out the lies and hypocrisy that was right in front of him by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, ready for this? They take him out and they stone him. He kneels down and prays for them. Truth always wins. The Bible said that he looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Let me tell you something. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand because he was doing just what Jesus wanted him to do. And the Bible said he prayed for them. And Stephen was martyred for the simple fact because he told them the truth. Charlie Kirk was killed this week because he told people the truth. That's it. Am I calling him Stephen? No, I'm not. But what we saw happen this week has happened throughout Scripture. And I got news for you. It's going to continue until the King comes back. Zeke? Absolutely.
And they were saying that there was 18,000 people that joined up to the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say this isn't that big end time prophetic
Bible
that's going to go on?
God will use it.
The youth is being affected like big time.
Sure.
And when you were talking about when God speaks through you, when God speaks through you, you know it.
Amen.
You feel that.
Amen.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And this government, when they do things at night too, just like they do.
Absolutely right.
And
amen.
They'll follow these big mouth people. You know that? These humans that are
mm-hmm.
big mouth and
sure.
saying, I know this, I know this. Don't follow them people. Follow the word of God.
Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 16, and I'll wind this up, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God a service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Jesus said it was going to happen. He told them it was going to happen. He tells us it's going to happen. And he tells us that those that do it have not known the Father or him. So they don't know truth. Amen? We're done.